to Book Review. My name's Jennifer Horn, and I invite you to come along with me to discover some of the interesting reads out there. Today, I'm looking at the fiction novel Deeply with the Sun in Our Eyes, written by A.C. Smith. And I'm going to start with a review, which is from Reader's Favourite Book Reviews and Award Contests. And this review for Deeply with the Sun in Our Eyes is by Grant Leishman. Deeply with the Sun in Our Eyes by A.C. Smith is a journey back in time to the beginnings of the war against the Japanese, as Britain began to come to terms with the fact that its empire may well not be the ruler of seas, or indeed of the world. Set in Malaya and Fortress Singapore, this sweeping narrative tells the story of two non-combatants caught up in the turmoil and chaos that was the Malayan Peninsula, as the Imperial Japanese Army began its ruthless swathe through Southeast Asia and the South Pacific. Dr. Greta Faircrossman, her rubber plantation owner husband Edward, and their young son are preparing for what seems like the inevitable: surrender to the Japanese forces and evacuation from Malaya. A young merchant marine second engineer from Australia, Richard Kurntz's ship, the Erekai, was about to dock and load its cargo. Richard had met and fallen in love with a beautiful Chinese waitress at one of the bars and was determined to seek out her company, despite his captain's warnings that the ship needed to be ready to depart at just 30 minutes' notice, given the recent air attacks by the Japanese Air Force. Richard's decision to visit his beloved Eva would set in motion a chain of events that would throw these two parties together and forever change their futures, as the battle for Malaya and Singapore raged on around them. Deeply with the Sun in Our Eyes is first and foremost a love story, one set in the tumultuous background of war, capitulation, treachery, traitors, spies, and chaos. Author A.C. Smith is a wordsmith extraordinaire whose descriptive prose is as good as it gets with the written word. The two principal characters in the narrative, Greta and Richard, are both beautifully drawn, with total adherence to the social and gender norms of the period, and, for this reason, ring as true and accurate. The author's loquacious style pulls you along in a continuous series of dramatic events that keep you engaged and excited. As a lover of historical fiction, especially that which is true to the time and the social mores, I found this read extremely satisfying. I found especially fascinating the contrast between Greta's husband, Edward, portrayed as a typical English colonial, proud, forthright, moralistic to all except himself and a little condescending to the locals, with Richard, the Australian who was a firm counterpoint to the stereotypical Aussie we might all expect, with his reserved, morally upright and proper stance on most aspects of life. There is plenty of action, excitement, and tension for adrenaline junkies in this story, but equally, there is much thoughtful introspection, redolent language, and deep feelings in the narrative. This is a sweeping and expansive tale of love in a time of conflict that will resonate with many readers, and I can highly recommend it. And that review for Deeply with the Sun in Our Eyes, written by A.C. Smith, was reviewed by Grant Leishman on Reader's Favourite, Book Reviews and Award Contest. And now we've got time for reading an excerpt of Deeply with the Sun in Our Eyes. Sacrifice, treachery and valour in the shadow of Britain's greatest military defeat. Port Swettenham rose from a reclaimed malaria-infested swamp. Thousands of ships, small and large, discharged general cargo and loaded tin, rubber and timber, destined for processing all over the world. Servicing Malaya's busiest port, a town had expanded over the previous 40 years. Ships, chandlers, godowns, shops, hotels, eating places and clammy offices fronted rows of fetid streets and rat-infested drains. In these elongated spittoons, all manner of unspeakable refuse would routinely find its birth and liquefy offensively for months before the cleansing monsoon arrived. The town area burst with a mix of gusto and barter, replicating the Singaporean combination of Little India and Chinatown. Essentially a sailor's repast, crews were enticed to spend their money on gambling and cheap grog. Missing female companionship, eager seamen looked forward to leisure time, and Swettenham was convivial. Common vices were on hand in the various bars that transformed from mucky, streaked, smeared shopfronts during daylight to gaudy red light inns on nightfall. Other, more subtle traders in voluptuary entertainment, the chief commodity marketed as the sun fell, operated behind the facade of hairdressing salons. Many a young sailor who innocently entered to seek a trim or shave left some considerable time later shorn of much more than its price. The port's great advantage was its juxtaposition to the capital city of Malaya, less than an hour away by road or rail transport. Kuala Lumpur was a large, teeming sweatpot of a place where poverty and affluence coexisted uneasily, and a seafarer could go about with greater anonymity than if he kept near to his ship. Thrown into a complex mix of Asiatic and subcontinental colour, a lone white face didn't escape curious and envious eyes. Being European granted a degree of prestige in quarters where attention was lavished and bargains could be gained. Conversely, there were some areas where a white person would not wittingly care to venture alone after a certain time of night. Muggings and unexplained disappearances, driven by robbery or blackmail, were not uncommon. For Richard Kernst, the city had all of the positives, and he refused to contemplate any negatives. It was one of his favourite places in the Far East. On his last visit, and contrary to his disposition, he had become enamoured with a beautiful young Chinese woman. He first noticed her when she took his lunch order in a cafe next to a Joss house on the city fringes. She appeared enthralled to find a person of his quality patronising the establishment and assumed he was of British stock. Yet, she was even more pleased that there was neither arrogance nor any hint of the toff about him. Rather, she perceived something self-effacing, even earthy, belying his neat demeanour. He mentioned that his presence was accidental. He liked walking around, especially away from the main hub. Often these sorts of places have the best food, and you haven't disappointed me. The spark in his eye suggestive of his having found her more than mere passive company. On learning he was an Australian ship's officer, a precautionary restraint dissolved. Richard was flattered by an eagerness to engage him in conversation and her rapid transformation from detachment to intimacy in speech and proximity. More than once, her body contacted his as she walked between tables, attending to increasing numbers of customers while the afternoon advanced. The longer he stayed, talked to, and watched her, the less desirous he was to leave. And that's all we have time for on Book Review today. That was an excerpt from Deeply with the Sun in Our Eyes, Sacrifice, Treachery and Valour in the Shadow of Britain's Greatest Military Defeat. A fiction work by A.C. Smith. Thank you so much for joining me this week on Book Review. My name's Jennifer Horn, and until next time, happy reading.